Waited. If you would turn into your Bible to the book of Jonah, chapter 4. We'll read all of chapter 4. So actually, I'm going to read Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, the verse right before. When God saw what they did, well, before I get into this, let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word which encourages us, your word which challenges us, with your word which speaks to us love. We ask you, Lord, that during this reading, this word which shows us grace, during this reading, Lord, during the expounding upon it that follows, we pray for your mercy, that it is your word that we hear. And being your word, we pray that our hearts and our minds are open. Move us to draw closer to you. May we be molded and shaped into the creature that you would have us be, that we may live the love in the way you want us to live it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind from the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? It is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, is it right that for you to be angry? Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. And when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose and God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, it is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the bush? And Jonah said, yes, angry enough to die. And then the Lord said, you are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I had mentioned last week, and I'll mention it again, I thoroughly enjoy the book of Jonah. Book of Jonah is an amazing book, and when we hear about Jonah, oftentimes the very next thing that we think about is the whale. But my favorite part about Jonah is probably Jonah and the worm. I like this final chapter. The book of Jonah itself, as taken as a whole, is a mini epic saga about one person's struggle with particular things in his life, things that we ourselves struggle with. Jonah was called by God, and Jonah has a bigger life in the Bible than just in this book. We hear about Jonah in other places where he was a prophet proclaiming different stuff. But in this particular book, Jonah was called by God in order to deliver a message to the people of Nineveh. The message was, of course, in 40 days you will be destroyed. Now, Jonah hated Nineveh. He despised Nineveh, and for decent reasons. Nineveh was a power-hungry city. It was huge and exerted their power upon the little villages that were around them, trying to extend their territory, trying to show their might, trying to subjugate other people underneath themselves. Nineveh was a place of might makes right. Nineveh was a place of power is the answer. Nineveh cared for no one else but Nineveh. And Jonah felt Nineveh's might on the bad end in different times because he was part of Israel. You would think that Jonah would be happy that God was going to destroy the city in 40 days. However, Jonah also knew about this other side of God, that God forgives, God relents, God is merciful, and God is love. And so he didn't want Nineveh to have any chance whatsoever for redemption in any way. And so he ran. And I think he was hoping to run away from God for at least 40 days so that maybe when God finally got to him, maybe it was too late and Nineveh would be just destroyed. So he went as fast as he could, but God's quicker, caught up with him, got a fish, brought him back, and Jonah figured out he can't run away. So he went to Nineveh and he preached for 3 days in the city, saying only, "You will perish in 40 days. God's going to just destroy you." Hearing that this was going to happen, everyone in the city did then say, "Wow, we really kind of messed up. Let's change our ways. Maybe God will forgive us." Well, God did. And Jonah was irritated. Jonah didn't like that. And he was angry with God. And he said, "Lord, oh, you're so annoying. I can't believe you're going to forgive them. After everything that they've done, how is this justice? I don't like this. Take me away. I don't want to deal with this." God says, "Why are you angry?" Jonah, having to think about that question, went up to a hillside that overlooked the city, willing to stay there for 40 days just at the off chance that maybe they will be destroyed. And if they will be destroyed, he's going to have ringside seats to see Nineveh's just destruction. Jonah poses for us a question, which is, in what ways have we been like Jonah in our lives? You know, we come to church and we get so excited because God forgave us. God's been in our lives and changed our lives and has taken those things in our lives that we've done that we're so ashamed of and throw them as far as the east is from the west. Which I love that because they didn't know about it, but the whole globe idea. Have you ever tried to think about taking something and throw it as far as the north is from the south? You know, if you go north, eventually you go south. So it kind of runs into each other. But if you go east and keep on going east, you always go east. So they never touch. So it's kind of a neat illustration. And God's done this for us. And it makes us so happy and we proclaim the goodness of God and the love of God. And God's so wonderful and God's so great. And then God tells us to love our enemies, and we're like, well, really? You know? I mean, but they keep on letting their dog poop in my yard. And I don't like that. It's annoying to me. And you want me to love them? Show them mercy and but they keep calling me names. They don't respect who I am. They don't let me live the way that I want. They're always criticizing me. And there are worse things. Well, we laugh about the dog pooping in the yard, but there are people out there that are truly, truly despicable. And truly bent on the image of Nineveh that Jonah had. Might makes right. Using the rule of the fist. Things that aren't worth laughing about. Things that we can't find any humor in. And these are the true evils and the powers and the enemies of our world and of our life. And it's saddening and heartbreaking that people will treat each other this way. And sometimes we're tempted to pray things like, "God, wipe them out. Get rid of them so that we don't have to deal with this. The world would be a better place if they just didn't exist." And there are times in our lives where we would like to have ringside seats to their destruction. However, God had a nice little object lesson for Jonah. As he was sitting up there on the hillside, he had a bush grow, and had Jonah had wonderful shade, and he just loved this bush. And then the next day, the bush withered and died because God sent a worm to destroy it. And Jonah was irritated and upset that this bush that he had nothing to do with was gone. And God said, "You're mad at this, and you want to die because this bush that you did nothing for is gone." God says, "I created this people. I love them. And I want to give them every chance." So God oftentimes goes beyond us, beyond what we're capable of doing. It's showing us that God's love for us is so great and so absolute that he's willing to give us all the chances that we could possibly have, and even those whom we despise, because God takes responsibility for what God has created and will not let it go. And the ultimate expression that God has given to that idea is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the ultimate expression of God's responsibility on humanity to give everyone a chance at redemption and love. And sometimes the best thing that we can do is just to get out of the way. Just to understand that it's so hard to pray for the redemption of our enemies. Those who despise us, who revile us, who hurt us, who take our lives, who desire nothing but death for us. And God gives the opportunity of redemption and salvation. Jonah sometimes is more like us than what we would like. However, it's my prayer that we realize that God can go beyond what we are capable of, and so we trust God. Pray for us. Pray for those who hurt us, revile us, hate us, that they may understand the love of God and seek that salvation that is so freely given from a God who sees them as his responsibility. We can praise God for that because God showed us that also. It's not easy, but I pray that we're able to get on board and trust God with those actions. Those actions that we have been clearly shown to us through communion. Communion shows us that the love of God goes all the way up to death itself and beyond. That no difficulty, no pain, no sorrow, no heartache, not even death can stop the love of God. It's because of what Christ did for us upon the cross that shows us that. As Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples, he told them that one of you will betray me. In the midst of that conversation, all the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, is it I?" Because they knew that they had the weakness in their lives to betray Christ. Christ also knew that they would betray him. As the Bible tells us, you strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. But Jesus still took the bread and he blessed it. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat and do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, "This is my blood shed for you and for the sins of many. Take and drink and do this in remembrance of me." The beauty of communion is that Jesus loved us first. The beauty of communion is that Jesus will love us always for all eternity. It's truly worth celebrating. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this celebration of your Holy Communion. of the moment where you express to us under no uncertain terms that you love us now, tomorrow, and forever. Help us, Lord, through the taking of the communion, to give our lives to you, to place ourselves under your care and under your love. Use us as you see fit. Bless the bread and the juice, that for us they truly are the blood of Christ, that we may live in the life of Christ, be raised from the dead through Jesus Christ, and be with you for all eternity. We thank you. We praise you for this opportunity. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.